You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard. Welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, headed up by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. Great to see you. Thank you. Good morning to all. To Listenerville out there, appreciate you joining us. Today is September 1. And Ron, you said you were playing September Morn for Mr. Diamond earlier today. Already?
Yes.
And you were singing it quite vociferously as well.
We could hear it again, though.
We may play it again this hour, Heidi says.
Right. And Ron had another September song as well. We'll see if we can get to that. But we have a lot of stuff to get to today. But first, we have joining us today Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I can't believe it's already September.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
And the weather has just been
awesome.
Helping us nicely, eh?
We've had a good couple of weeks, I'll tell
have
you.
We ever.
A good couple
yeah,
of months.
Absolutely.
Yes.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Indeed. And Deanne Jennings as well. A director of operations. Good morning.
Good morning. This day is beautiful. This is why we live in Traverse City, right?
It is.
They'll take it. They'll take it. You bet. And Labor Day weekend this weekend, so we all get Monday off. Nice, nice.
Yay.
Yeah.
Many people get Monday off. Not
Some
everybody.
Do
you?
Yes.
I mean,
I will be off on Labor Day.
Nice.
We salute those who will be working on Labor Day.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed. Well, it's great to be here again. So if you call us, text us, whatever, love to try to get to that now. Before we get started, we just got together with our builders this week, and it was kind of fun. They're saying November 1st we'll be in, so we're kind of shooting for that. The new address will be 1105 East 8th, and my gosh, I dropped by there last night and just walked through the building, and it's really coming along. Everything's taking shape, ceilings, floors. Many of you may have seen the color on the outside.
Yeah.
It's all nice.
There's even lights
fancy,
that work.
Schmancy.
I know.
You bet.
December 1st?
November 1.
November 1. Okay, yes. Good.
November 1st. You bet. All
wow.
Saints Day, I think they call that.
Wow.
You betcha.
Yeah.
So it's coming along, and we'll be moving in hopefully toward the end of October, but we'll keep everyone posted as to that. And lots of info here this morning. Before I get to that, though, we're also going to be announcing, as we did the last few weeks, our classes coming up at NMC. Lots of enthusiasm. I guess we already have some sign-ups for those, too. So that's great. So last week, yes, Ron, question?
I was going to say, before you dive into your topic,
sure.
Can we ask a question on the text line?
Absolute.
If it's up your alley or not, could you give the pluses and minuses of TOD, T-O-D, which is transfer on death accounts? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, yes. Transfer on death. We use that a lot for generally a couple who doesn't have a trust and they want the assets to pass outside of probate, as in an IRA. Kind of nice. So John passes away. Susie, his wife, gets the account. Of course, they're joint tenants. She passes away. It goes to the children outside of probate. Well, you know, what if they need some more control? So the advantage is it passes outside of probate. And you get all the cost to step up in basis and that sort of thing on those assets. But if you need more control, as in a trust, well, we've got three children. And the one child, for instance, he and his wife aren't necessarily good partners in terms of managing money. Well, they're going to get a lump sum. Are you okay with that? I don't care if they get it, you know, whatever. If you do care, then the trust may make more sense. Or if you're concerned about where estate taxes are going to go here, given they're most likely going to go up in terms of tax and down in the amount of the credit. Now, there'll be a test at the end of the show about that. But those are just some of the positives and negatives, which we cannot discuss here in their entirety. And this is only a thumbnail sketch.
Yeah.
And I would just mention that a TOD, or that designation, is usually used on non-qualified accounts. That means not retirement accounts. IRAs and employer plans, they all have that beneficiary section implanted within that application. So you're usually putting those beneficiaries on. But for just like a regular investment account, that's where you would use the TOD to be able to name beneficiaries and pass outside of probate. So,
see, this is why all of our clients love Heidi so much. She always fills in the details. Thank you. Well, I must confess, even while we're in the radio show, I'm thinking, I just love doing this.
Yeah.
Ron, you are the ultimate host, sir. Yeah. It's always enjoyable coming in, and you make it a great day, so thank you.
Well, thank you. I take notes and learn. I'm going to try to have Heidi's job someday.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe I should earn some certificate for sitting here every
like
week and learning
RICG
all of this.
Like an RICG or something. Yeah.
Honorary. No.
Yeah, I've been doing my own continuing ed this last few weeks, and that's for the CPWA.
But you guys are so full of information and knowledge. It's unbelievable. We just scratched the surface here.
Yeah, we get to study about it, too. Speaking of that, just because you asked, I'm doing this continuing ed for CPWA. It's a Certified Private Wealth Advisor. And one of the gentlemen is a prof at MIT, and he certainly showed it in my success rate on the first couple quizzes I took with him. I actually had to buckle down and really take notes and go through the information and do it a couple of times to actually pass the quizzes. But it's just been amazing. When I finally got half of it done, I had about 65 hours in doing the continuing ed for that. And I was mentioning to these two the information that I got personally. It just was incredible. So, excuse me, we do get a lot of information given what we subject ourselves to with all this continuing ed stuff, but it makes a difference in terms of what we can share on the radio show, and it's a ton of fun. So, pleasure. All right, let's move on. We're going to be talking about the Frankenstein market today. The Frankenstein market, what does that mean? Well, last week, you may remember, for those of you who were listening, we were talking about how we were going to have maybe a slow, easy way into a slow glide into the economy. Well, Jay Powell thought differently. Fed Chair Jerome Jay Powell, at the Jackson Hole Conference on Friday of last week, gave a very short 10 minutes and very hawkish speech. Ed Giardini, who is a very well-known economist, said he quashed any lingering expectations that the Fed would pause its tightening and might lower interest rates next year. Well, last week we were hoping for maybe 1% over the next two quarters or so. Well, that was obviously very wrong. Remember, Fonz, he could never say the word wrong. Well, we're saying it here today. apparently, he hadn't, Mr. Powell, had not been reading the same news or getting the same information that all the people we were quoting were getting. He just was not on the same page. He was reading perhaps the New York Times, where they were reading the Wall Street Journal, and they just didn't agree. Well, guess who controlled the day? It was Jay Powell. Mm-hmm. So he is thinking that the economy is not nearly as soft and that inflation is entirely too strong. Given that reality, he wants to raise rates, putting a long story short, thank you, Dennis. A long story short, instead of 1%, maybe 1.5%, all the way up to 2% more.
Over like what time period, possibly?
Probably another year or so. But what's interesting about that, we were talking about this too, who knows? You know, he may be, the whole Fed board may eventually get on the same page and say, oh yeah, okay, so the economy is weaker. We're going to have the payroll numbers next week. We'll have a lot of more rather statistical information next week. Slow down, Dennis. Yes. Stats next week. So that the Fed is able to say, okay, we're going to hedge a little bit on that. we might see, but we see exactly how the stock market responded. It was it's down about 6% right now from Friday of last week. 6%.
So I've seen the market, I thought, respond to higher interest rate or talk of a higher interest rate positively, and I thought, why? Maybe because they think that's going to help slow down inflation. But on the other hand, talk of a interest rate hike, as you say, makes it more expensive to do business. So
it does.
Does market react different ways to these announcements?
Well, yeah, the market wasn't expecting this. The market was expecting more of a soft landing, the Charmin landing, if you will. And it just wasn't to be. It was more of the, never mind, we won't go there. It's just not what they were expecting. And given that surprise, they don't like surprises.
Obviously.
Some of us are married to folks who don't like surprises, you know, of whom I speak. Yes, indeed. So there is no doubt now that Paul is playing a Volcker light card. Anyone remember Mr. Paul Volcker from the Ronald Reagan administration at the time of the Reagan administration?
Yeah.
Took the Fed rates, I think, all the way to 16% if memory serves.
Mm.
Gosh, Dennis, you're old. And you're right. In weighing the two legs of the Fed's dual mandate, inflation and economic growth, Paul is clearly coming down on reducing inflation. Now, the issue, and thus the name of our show today, the first force. Unfortunately, the Fed, let me back up a moment. The Fed must contend with two negative forces with respect to their campaign to rein in inflation. What are those two forces? The federal government spending more money.
Mm.
Anyone heard of the Debt Forgiveness Act? Hello.
Hello.
Of us with
heard
children who are going to school.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Rings a bell.
That's kind of been in the news.
Yeah.
Thank you. The first force is the counterproductive fiscal policy of Congress and the Biden administration. Oh, they're out with it. See, they always go into politics here. I can't help it. Together, they are creating a financial Frankenstein market, which is responsible in large part for today's elevated inflation. It's that much money coming into the economy.
It just seems like the market is, as a thing is not political. It just responds to whatever policy comes out, whether it's Democrat or Republican.
Yes.
It just adapts and responds.
It does, because of the cost of money is going to go up, their cost for doing business is going to go up, and you get a slam on the brakes of hiring, whether it's a tech company or whatever. That's another indicator of the economy. And you hear this in the news and or from the street. Yeah, well, you know, she was trying to find a job in the tech sector. That was a conversation 2 days ago, and that's not happening right now. So that's what's going on. By the way, Jason Furman, economics professor at Harvard and former head of Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, said that particular debt forgiveness plan was totally unfair and irresponsible and will raise inflation by, you know, his own estimate, which who knows. The second problem, this is the Frankenstein reference, for the Fed is that ongoing strength of the jobs market. Weekly jobless claims have been rising steadily since mid-March of this year, and that has worried quite a few economists. Suddenly, in the last 2 weeks, it's dropped significantly. So it's kind of a lagging indicator in this case. So that's the Frankensteinian side of this thing. It's the federal government pushing more money into the economy, and it's that pressure from inflation as well as the Fed itself trying to tamp this down by raising interest rates. And there tend to be almost competing forces. That's what that's referencing. And that's why, you know, when you're watching this sort of thing, us prognosticators and these people, it's amazing how wrong they can be in a period of 24 hours, right? But, you know, they're pretty smart people that we reference, but they can't read Mr. Powell's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have heard that song, Can You Read My Mind? Well, in this case, they weren't. And what does that mean for you? Keep your mind on the goal. Now, at my fingertips right here is lifestyle goals. Before and after retirement, we just reviewed with a client 2 days ago the importance of trying to keep our goals in mind when we're seeing this stuff. Because as we all know. Well, what's going to happen in the next 4 months? There are a lot of changes possibly going on in the next 4 months. We can think about an election between the House and Senate. That's happening. We know that. Taiwan will be interesting to watch. Ukraine. There are a lot of variables going on out there. We all get that. But how should we respond? Generally by making smaller moves and or saying, you know, what are my goals first? Is it travel, college, home improvement? When do we want to retire? Can we still do that given what's happened with the markets? Does it still make sense? That's where I think we're going to have a lot of people coming in, you know. Okay, where are we at? Are we going to be okay? What are the goals? If we've done a financial plan for them, that's quick. We can show you almost immediately given the technology that we're taking advantage of. So a lot of this is maintaining focus on your goals. We'd like to retire. Well, this conversation happened again 2 days ago. They were saying, I may give them notice in 2 weeks. Can we do that? Those are great conversations. And that's where we can really help. Any financial advisor worth their salt is going to do their best, if possible, to help you stay on your goal set. And if you have to adjust, given what's happened, to show you, all right, here's the adjustment. Here's what you're most likely going to have to do, given what we know right now. Keep in mind, of course, this stock market, since March of 19, has gone from, I think it was at 19,000 when it dropped with the pandemic. Is that right? 19,000 or so, yeah. In March of 19.
You want to look at the...
go there if you would, Rod. It doesn't matter.
Well, go to the Dow. It'll go back.
Hit the five-year mark. And just pull over there to, it was 20. Jeez, it wasn't 19, it was 20. So go to, move to the right a bit. There, Ron. Right there. March of 20. That's actually not quite accurate. It got down to 19,000 in March of 20. Well, it's still at 31 today. So sometimes perspective helps in this. Given the volatility and what we're seeing today, and sometimes you just need to sit with someone that can say, why? Why are you doing this? Help you, again, focus on what's important to you about that. Why is that important to you? Well, I'm taking care of my wife. We're trying to retire. Whatever it is, whether it's care situations or whether it's retirement goals or whether it's starting a new business, leaving a bequest, gifts, donations, weddings, for those who have children who are not yet married. I'm looking specifically at Heidi for no particular reason.
I still have a few to go yet.
Yeah. Whether it's a celebration, you get it. So, man, it's not easy sometimes, given the amount of noise that we're seeing out there. The noise, as we said last week, is cacophonious.
Cacophonious, today's word.
Day.
Do you want a gold question?
Let's do that.
So
sure.
Someone said, why would I purchase gold, which will go up in value, and pay someone cash that will go down in value? Why would they sell their gold?
Because at any given point, you always have a buyer and a seller, if there's any kind of commodity.
Somebody's always willing to, looking to sell or buy up.
Yeah. Because we don't know that gold will go up in value.
Sometimes it goes down.
They may be wrong.
So they may have bought a while ago and said, this has earned some money for me. I'm ready to sell for whatever
reason.
They
may be a dealer in gold. I mean, they're just looking to peddle it because that's what they do. All right? So it may be much more regular than all of that. It's not necessarily an investment decision for them. Obviously, it depends on the individual. Maybe they need the cash. You know, it's always interesting. Mm. Everyone has different sets of mind. And or, yeah, their cost may be $300 an ounce. They're simply looking to take some profits because they have another goal in mind. I want to buy that piece of property next to me. The wife agrees, I think we'll do it. You know, whatever it is, you get it. So we're talking about the 529 versus the Roth IRA. The 529.
So yes. I thought with back to school, since it's September and people are going back to school, planning to save for higher education, looking at the Roth IRA versus the 529, two sources that you can use to pay for higher education. So the benefits of using your Roth IRA. So there's three of those. Roth IRAs are not included as an asset on the FAFSA or that free application for student aid form. Anyone who has children in higher education, you're familiar, you have to fill out this form. It helps determine your EFC or your expected financial contribution. So these Roth IRAs are not included when they do that calculation. The second benefit of using Roth IRA money is that they're more flexible. You can earmark as much or as little as you want for higher education expenses, but those funds don't need to be used for qualifying education expenses. There's no definition. You can use it for whatever you want. With a 529 plan, if you don't use the funds for higher education, you will owe income taxes on the gains and the 10% penalty on distributions. So that's
if it's not used for education expenses.
Correct.
Now, these education expenses can go on all the way through much higher education as well, to be sure. They don't have to be taken out. You can wait theoretically until the child is 35 years old before that money is used.
So the Roth IRA may provide the same tax-free treatment for distributions if you are over the age 59 and a half at the time you take the distribution from the Roth IRA and you've had any Roth IRA for 5 years or longer. Then anything you take out in that circumstance, your Roth IRA will be tax and penalty free. Even if you aren't 59 and a half at the time that you have those education-related expenses and you want to pay them with the Roth money, you can still utilize the Roth IRA contribution tax and penalty free. So when they say Roth contribution, that is like the check. If you write a check for $5,000 and you put it in your Roth, that is $5,000 is your contribution.
You mean so the earnings you can't use?
You can't use if you're under 59 and a half without a penalty. So looking at it that way, you know, you could keep track.
But if you take money out of the Roth for anything, for education or for a vacation, it's still not taxed, right?
As long as you meet the qualifying, you have to be over 59 and a half, all those things. Yeah.
All right.
There's always those rules. So what is the benefit if you use the 529 plan? A lot of people and a lot of our clients have 529 plans for children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, things like that. So 529 plans benefit from a special tax break as long as the 529 plan distributions are used to pay qualified education expenses. Distributions are 100% tax-free. In some states, you will also be entitled to a state income tax deduction. Note that with the 2018 changes to the tax law, 529 distributions can be used for private school K through 12. It doesn't have to be that higher education. You can use it at any time during the educational life of the child.
But if your student that you're saving for applies for financial aid and you have a 529 account, are they going to determine what your assets are and figuring out if he or she gets a financial aid?
Exactly, okay. Ron. The 529 plan is included when they calculate your expected financial contribution. So the Roth isn't, but the 529 is. So a 529 plan comes without income restrictions on who can contribute. So this is another benefit of the 529. Unlike a Roth IRA, earned income is required to make a contribution. There are no federal contribution dollar limits, while the individual state may have a different rule. So you want to check where you live for that. But the limits are much higher than the annual contribution limits for Roth IRAs. So you can contribute more than $6,000 or $7,000.
Yeah, up to the gift tax amount, $16,000 a year, I think, and or you can do a catch-up contribution, if you like, up to $80,000 over a supposed 5-year period. So you can really fund these things if you like.
Right. Yes. And then the third point is it's not a 529 plan, but there is something called the Coverdell Education Savings Account. It also has tax-free distributions that can be taken for primary and secondary school education. But they do have a lower contribution limit. I think it's 2,000 on the ESAs.
So, in essence, it really makes sense to take a look at the positives and negatives of each, and perhaps even diversify as to the type of plan. Maybe use some Roth, some 529 plan. They can each have their own positives and negatives.
Point of clarification. Mm-hmm. So if student X is the one that you're saving for in the 529,
right,
and applies for financial aid, mm-hmm, do they look at the student's family's financial situation or the funder who might be outside the family?
No, they'll look at the parents, but okay, then they'll also look at any 529 where they are the beneficiary, okay, of that 529. So the 529, okay, is owned by the grantor or the people who put the money in, who open that account for the benefit of the student. So anything for that student's benefit would be included.
Now, what's interesting about the 529 is that any monies used to pay off student debt is not counted against. So, you know, there's some real, there's some changes going on with the 529 plans. So that's going to be important to catch up on as well when you're looking at something like this for, you know, could this work for me? Okay. So we've got DN next on the stats.
Absolutely. The stats are a bit different this morning. Mick Higley, who has been writing these stats for over 19 years, created a special edition, and it's called Lessons Learned. So right, these are some lessons he's learned in 19 years. And let's see, Dennis and Heidi, if you agree with this. He says, a good advisor, if I know 5 things about a person, I can give them advice about investing. I need to know age, time, horizon, risk tolerance, tax bracket, and mostly important, objectives. Without those 5 things, I can't help you. Do you guys agree with that?
Those are keys on the detail side.
Yeah, and those objectives or their goals is just what Dennis was talking about during the show.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's about the why, really, in the end. Mm-hmm. What motivates you? What are your concerns? What more deeply are you trying to do, and why is that important to you, I think is the huge part of it. Why are you wanting to do this so that you can then know when things aren't going well? Oh, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. Any of us need that. All of us do, I think.
Which is so important to have a good advisor that listens and you communicate with regularly so you can be on the same page and know those objectives and
absolutely
know the why.
And, yeah, and it's important for clients to remember to come in at least once or twice a year and let us know if things are changing or if goals have changed, or because
yes,
life always is throwing us curveballs. So it helps us do a better job the more that we talk with our clients and find those things out.
Exactly. Okay, because the market is down, there's a lot of talk about risk, and you have to decide what's right for you. Is now the time to invest? To decide what's right for you, ask yourself this question. If I go in today and the investment falls 40% in the next 6 months, does that hurt more or hurt less than if I stay out of the investment today and it goes up 40% in the next 6 months without me?
For most people, according to the stats, a 40% loss hurts a lot more than any positive from a 40% gain. So the reality is that losses hurt much more than gains. They just do. So that's a key component in determining your own risk tolerance and your willingness to take risk and or allow these things to have some fluctuation even within their values.
And that's why when we have clients come in, Dennis and I sit and we do a risk tolerance questionnaire, and it just gives us an idea of where you are on that scale and what might be appropriate for each person.
Great. Warren Buffett was quoted in 2008 as saying, "Buy into a business that's doing so well an idiot could run it, because sooner or later, one will." I'll tweak that advice to read, buy into a stock that's poised to do well regardless of the man or woman who is occupying the White House. Instead, worry about the sales and revenue.
Well, that's the key component. You want to buy into companies with great histories. Generally stick with more conservative strategies because they can weather these kinds of storms in the economy. Even though their prices come down, which we can look at a whole lot of great tech companies whose prices have come down a bunch, and it just means that they're a better value for those who are looking at the long term and are able to maintain that long term. Perhaps, but yes.
Warren Buffett just says it how it is.
Hmm.
Now,
he does.
Maybe we should do a show on Warren Buffett quotes.
Next. Ethereum, cryptocurrencies. How much time do we have here, Ron?
We would have about three minutes.
The future of finance aims to leave its past in the dust. The Ethereum merge, a year in the making reimagining of the world's second largest crypto, is set for mid-September. The merge is meant to move the chain's consensus mechanism from proof of work, or POW, old, power hungry, to proof of stake. It's a critical moment for the seven-year-old crypto, and it's going to be much more efficient. POS-powered Ethereum is expected to use almost 100% less energy, 99.95% less energy, by having validators instead of miners add new blocks to the chain. So these alternate currencies are trying to adjust here to maintain their validity, if you will. This will be interesting in terms of their use, because right now the problem with these cryptos is they're not getting near the use that was thought that they would. Compared to the internet, they're like slowly fading almost into the dust. We'll see, given these changes, if they're able to be efficient enough, and obviously whether the public is willing to pick them up as a currency, a currency that is optional compared to the world's own currencies. So we'll see whether or not these become a means of exchange, which is what any good currency is about. That's why gold and silver are still considered the benchmarks in terms of value and true currencies. We'll see whether they're able to step in with these other currencies. Always changing. Thanks, Ron.
Always changing.
Sure appreciate it today.
As we do, Prout Financial Design. If you want to hear parts of this program, you can hear the whole program again Saturday mornings. We run it at 9 o'clock here on WTCM. And you can go to proutfinancialdesign.com.
That's right. And we have the radio shows out there, previous shows that you can listen to.
Podcast form or own podcast and or the there's an app, too.
Yeah. Podcast is New Retirement Radio with Dennis. Check it out.
There's an app for that. Deanne Jennings, Heidi Cartwright, Dennis Prout, Prout Financial Design. Thank you all.
Appreciate it, Ron. Have a great day and weekend.